Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman on our new, well, on my new day, Friday, my new weekday, Friday, still on same Saturday and Sunday times, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and now instead of Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, it'll be Friday, so we'll have consecutive days rather than a space in between. But all programs are live as well as archived, so anyone can hear them anytime. My guest today is Karosh Ziabari. Karosh is an Iranian journalist. He's a World Student Community Sustainable Development member. He publishes articles widely. He focuses on major world issues. He and I really look very much at the same things. We're both concerned about the same things, and we get our materials out in print and online. It's great to have you on, Karosh. I hope you can hear me clearly. I think we were connected, then disconnected, then reconnected. I hope we're connected now. Karosh, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Sorry for these interruptions because my phone device has got some problems that it has run out of battery, and now I'm available to talk to you. Sorry for this inconvenience.
Oh, no problem. No problem. And if we get disconnected, hang up and we'll call you back again.
Okay, sure.
Oh, no problem. Always like to let my guests discuss what's most on their mind, so I absolutely want to let you do it, Karosh. It probably is not unlikely that you're not concerned with the hate film that was produced in America. I think it has Israeli fingerprints all over it, and of course violence happened in its wake. And in my view, I'll state it quickly, then let you comment on it and on whatever else you wish. My view is that no matter how blasphemous either a piece of writing or a cartoon or a film or a YouTube video, anything, no matter how blasphemous and outrageous something like that is, it usually doesn't get people to go out and burn down buildings and commit harmful acts against other people. There has to be something else that's the root cause. And my feeling is, and I think you'll agree, absolutely there's something else that's the root cause. About decades of imperial violence that harms so many people throughout the region. I mean, it's amazing this thing doesn't blow up every single day, but you comment.
Yes. Well, Steve, you know, I believe that the wave of Islamophobia, which has begun to encompass the United States and Western Europe in the recent years, stems and emanates from the actually war on terror which President Bush waged in 2001, and it was actually a direct consequence of that war, which was waged on two countries, Iraq and Afghanistan, in less than 5 years. Unfortunately, we are seeing that the sacraments and beliefs and sensitivities of the Muslims are being insulted on a regular basis. And this is something which is absolutely unacceptable. The Muslims in the Muslim countries and non-Muslim countries have reacted to the production of this offensive movie somehow violently. But I believe that this is the natural result of the blasphemous and sacrilegious movie which was produced in the U.S. I don't actually accept and I don't support the killing of, for example, diplomatic staff of the United States in a country like Libya. But you can actually think about this fact that the Muslims, whether in Iran or the other Muslim countries, have never, ever insulted the Christians or Jews by offending them, reviling their sacraments and religious beliefs and notions. For example, in Iran, some 3 years ago, a filmmaker named Nader Talabzadeh produced a movie about the life of Jesus the Christ. And it was received internationally, and it was very popular in Iran as well. So the Muslims have always showed some kind of tolerance and, some kind of craving for the religious diversity, for peaceful coexistence with the other, the followers of the other religions. But these attempts, such as the production of the movie Innocence of Muslims, are aimed at radicalizing the Muslims around the world and laying the groundwork and preparing the ground for waging a new war against Muslims. And, well, for example, I think that through such heinous acts, the U.S. government is after justifying its military expeditions in the Muslim world, which is, from the viewpoint of economic wealth, one of the most oil-rich regions of the world. And the Muslim countries possess the largest reserves of the oil of the world and also other natural resources. So I believe that this movie and also the subsequent publication of anti-Islam cartoons by the French magazine was something which the Muslims reacted to intrinsically, and well, maybe in some cases the reaction was somehow violent, but I think that this is a natural consequence of the Zionists teasing the Muslims to and they're playing the nerves of the Muslims. And of course, we can trace the footsteps of the Israeli regime in the production of this movie, because I read somewhere that some 100 Jewish donors actually contributed to the production of this movie and funded it, actually. And well, this the response of the Muslim world, although in some cases violent, was very natural. And I believe that well, the Western world is trying to provoke the Muslims in different countries. And I just conducted an interview with James Fetzer, the renowned public intellectual and university professor, who told that this movie was aimed at actually triggering violence and inflaming anger in the Middle East, which is a sensitive and a strategic region in the world. And you see that the most of the reactions are coming out of this region, as well as the other countries of the world. So insulting the Prophet Muhammad and the actually sacred beliefs of Muslims has been a regular agenda of the Western propaganda machinery, while it has never been seen that the Muslims in any country, especially in Iran, have ever insulted the religious beliefs of the followers of other religions. And we are very proud, as an Iranian, I'm very proud that my country has a long history of religious coexistence and tolerating the, actually the freedom of action of the other religions. For example, just a few days ago, I was actually visiting the historical sites of the city of Qom, which is a holy city in Iran, and I saw that as Zoroastrian, actually, place of worship belonging to some 3,000 years ago was actually placed on a mountain there. It was intact, and it still was very strong and robust. And this shows that Iranians have never tried to persecute or molest or harass the followers of other religions, and this is a great honor for Iranians, and in particular, and the Muslims in general, that they have always respected the followers of other religions, the Christians, the Jews, the Zoroastrians, and even the Buddhists. And for example, I can say that in Iran's constitutional law, there is an article which emphasizes on the right of the peaceful coexistence between the followers of divine religions. It explicitly speculates rights for Zoroastrians, Christians, and Jews, and says that they are free to exercise their rituals and, well, to attend their own worshiping places, and also study in their own universities and schools.
Well, you have been around and you're there, Karush. And you can see what's happening. Maybe there are demonstrations going on right where you live. I mean, there are many of them. I've lost count of the number of countries. I think it exceeds 20, and it goes beyond the Middle East. I know it's going on in India, in Pakistan. It's going on in Australia. I believe there are protests going on in some European countries. Press TV had me on a couple of days ago on their news analysis program, wonderful program, and Press TV does such a wonderful service. I recommend it to everybody. Yeah. Real news. I mean, real news and information. If they bring me on to speak freely, and I pull no punches on my program or when I'm interviewed, and they keep inviting me back, and they have marvelous people, people who I have as guests on this program, Karush, like you. I lost the train of thought that I had. One of the comments I made was, this is a lot more than a Muslim issue. This is a universal issue. Why aren't people all over the world protesting this? I mean, innocent people are being harmed. They have done no harm to anybody. They've committed no crimes. And yet Imperial America leads the charge with Israel and key NATO allies and sellout regional countries like Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and Qatar. They're not the only ones. All the Gulf states. They've sold out their people. They work with Imperial America. They punish and harm their own people. How long can people put up with this before reacting? I mean, anything they could do to defend themselves. International law says this is absolutely legal. When you are harmed or you are attacked, you have every right to defend yourself. Well, these people, for the most part, are doing it nonviolently. I don't think they're going around shooting anybody. I mean, they're lighting fires. They're doing some other things. There's been some destruction. You can only hold back so long, Karush. Again, I don't know why this doesn't go on every single day.
I absolutely agree, Steve, because what's happening right now in the Middle East, as I mentioned, is a direct consequence of molesting and harassing the Muslims. In my travel to the city of Rome, I found out that in the ancient graves of people who were actually buried in the ancient graves, there are some holes, big holes on each grave, and when the rainwater accumulates on it, the pigeons and other birds can actually drink water from it. Why I cited this example, it is because it shows the subtlety and delicacy of Iranian culture, and it's actually the importance it gives to the principles of human rights and the principles of human dignity. The Western mainstream media accuse Iranians and other Arab states of the Middle East of sponsoring terrorism and of being terrorist, fanatic, extremist people. But who has so far brought up a compelling evidence to confirm this claim that the Muslims are terrorists? If, for example, this view was reinvigorated since the 9/11 attacks, it is demonstrated in the scholarly research of people such as Christopher Bolin or James Fetzer or other people, Mark Dankoff, that it was a false flag operation carried out with the complicity of the Zionist regime of Israel and with the foreknowledge of the American government, with the U.S. administration. So who can really cite evidence confirming and verifying this pretension that Muslims are fanatic and extremist people? Well, it's clearly observable that Muslims are sensitive towards their own religious beliefs and their sacraments, and especially towards the prophets, because all of the actually sects and denominations of Islam are a unit in belief in Prophet Muhammad and his divine mission. By portraying Prophet Muhammad as a repressive and a reactionary figure and individual, the Israeli, U.S., British media machinery is trying to trigger the anger and infuriation of Muslims, and I think that they really appreciate. Believe me, they really appreciate the fact that, for example, Ambassador Christopher Stevens was killed in Libya in Benghazi, because they can. This event, the killing of U.S. Ambassador to Libya, can very well play into the hands of the United States and its European allies to claim that Muslims are a terrorist, are a fanatic, are extremist people, and this can lay the groundwork for launching new ones in the Middle East, as I said. We see in the history of the United States that such false flag operations were carried out repeatedly in Cuba, in other places, in Tonkin Gulf, and other examples of false flag operations with the final objective of bringing to its knees the nations, the powers that resist the arrogance and imperialism of the United States. Iran has been and practically one of the few world countries that has since 1979 and since the Islamic Revolution resisted all kinds of pressures of the United States and its allies in order to remain independent. Iran does not want to be a puppet regime once again as it was during the Shah monarchy, the Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi monarchy. Iranians have paid a very heavy price for remaining independent and for to have the opportunity to stand on their own feet and to have the right of self-determination. Some people around the world, some neoconservatives, do not understand this fact. They accuse Iran of sponsoring terrorism. They brand Iran as part of an axis of evil, while Iran, over the course of past 300 years, has never invaded nor attacked any country, while during the past three centuries, the United States of America has been engaged in more than 50 wars. Reliable evidence to confirm this, that many of these wars were started set in motion with the administration of the United States governments, different governments. For example, you can look at the 8-year war of Iran and Iraq, in which some 500,000 Iranians were killed by the late dictator Saddam Hussein. And now we are in the anniversary of the conclusion of this war, and people in Iran are marking the end of the war in a week that is called Sacred Defense Week. People in Iran will remember that how 23 European countries different parts of Europe, including France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, all of these countries assisted Saddam Hussein militarily and financially and provided him with the state-of-the-art weaponry to use in the war with Iran. In order not to divert from our own conversation too much, I should say that the false and biased portrayal of the mainstream media of Muslims in different parts of the world is a very big impediment to the fulfillment of the rights of Muslims. The Muslims are really one of the most persecuted religious groups of the world because their rights are confiscated. The Muslims in some countries, some European countries, are banned from using their own dressing style, such as the law which was ratified in France, banning the entering of women who wear headscarves from entering into universities or schools, and this is really a predicament. This is disastrous that because of their type of dressing, they are deprived of many social rights. Or in Iran, because, for example, many Iranian athletes, many Iranian female athletes are deprived and banned from entering international competitions because of their Islamic dressing style. And if this is not discrimination, if this is not bigotry, if this is not hypocrisy, then what it is? So I believe that in different parts of the world, Muslims, despite contributing to the progress and development of different countries, they are being molested and harassed in a very disastrous way.
Absolutely, Quraysh. There is so much to say and so little time to say it in. I have written volumes on the Middle East, volumes on Syria, volumes on Iraq, on Iran. I've also written a good bit about Iraq and so much about Israel, Palestine. There is no question. You cannot equate a religion with a behavioral pattern. The two simply don't go together. It's like fire and ice. They don't go together. There are good and bad people of all faiths and political persuasions and shapes and sizes and ages and so on. That's the way you determine a people, an individual, a character. Martin Luther King said it well. He was only concerned about a person's character, didn't care anything about what he looked like. How does he act? How does she act? That's what matters. To accuse Iran of all of these things, all the charges are completely spurious. There is nothing illegal about its nuclear program. It's the same kind of program as many dozens of other countries have around the world. The only one that gets called out is Iran. Iran is the most heavily monitored country in the world on its nuclear program. You don't hear a word said about Israel's nuclear program. Iran was one of the first countries to sign the NPT, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Israel never signed it, refuses to sign it. America signed it. They violate all its principles because America does whatever it wants. You know, America is boss and what it says goes. Same with Israel. Israel has a powerful nuclear arsenal. It's Israel's open secret. Everybody knows it, but few people talk about it. Israel also has a powerful chemical and biological weapon stockpile, and they have used those. They have used those against Palestinians, against Lebanese. When they go to war against Gaza or Lebanon, you know this, Quraysh, and doctors look at injuries, they say they've never seen some of this stuff before. Well, because Israel is using their illegal weapons. Some of them are new ones they're testing in real time. The horrors go on endlessly against very normal people. Anybody listening to this program, Quraysh, could live in Iran very peacefully. They could be Muslims, they could be Jews, they could be Christians. I understand that there are Jews in Iran who have been asked, would you prefer to move and live in Israel? And they basically said, hell no, we don't want anything to do with Israel.
Of course, Steve, the accusations which are repeatedly and frequently directed against Iran and other Muslim countries, especially those who have dared to resist the U.S. imperialism and arrogance, are absolutely and fundamentally baseless and unfounded. Iran is under four rounds of United Nations Security Council resolutions which impose economic sanctions against Iran. And other countries around the world, from Australia, Canada, Japan, South Korea, other countries of the world have imposed unilateral sanctions against Iran. And in some cases, such sanctions are so inhumane and so cruel and very heartbreaking that they even ban the exporting of the medicine and foodstuffs to Iran. I have just recently published an article titled, Yes, They Have Even Banned Medicine and Foodstuffs. It was published on Iran Review website and other websites republished it. This is very interesting and at the same time very disgraceful to know that the countries which advocate themselves as the absolute pioneers of human rights for the execution of a murderer, of a criminal who has been involved in drug smuggling or has raped innocent women, the United States and its European allies start to direct verbal attacks against Iran, that Iran is not abiding by, is not actually abiding by its international obligations and is a gross violator of human rights. But they never talk about this issue that thousands of defenseless patients suffering from different kinds of cancer, thalassemia or hemophilia or psychiatric diseases and illnesses are suffering in Iran because they cannot have access to medicine from European countries, from the United States. Or at the same time, every year tens of innocent people are killed in heart-rending air accidents in Iran because Iran is not allowed to buy aircraft and spare parts of planes from the United States and other European countries. And its aging fleet is leading to the killing of many innocent people every year when the airplanes in Iran crash and actually get destroyed. So those who introduce themselves as the advocates of freedom and human rights are making empty claims that they really care about the human rights. If they really cared about the human rights, they would not ban the importing of medicine and foodstuffs to Iran. And, just a few days ago, a British MP, Member of Parliament, emailed me and claimed that, no, we have not banned the importing of foodstuffs and medicine and other humanitarian goods to Iran. But I wrote a substantive article by giving references to different sources who have confirmed that sales of goods and medicine and foodstuff are banned and Iran is being directed and targeted by inhuman sanctions outside the framework of the United Nations Security Council. At the same time, Iran is being directed with the most heinous and harsh attacks of the U.S. media who disregard Iran's rich civilization, rich culture, rich history, and claim that Iranian leaders are fanatics. They openly insult Iran's president, other Iranian officials, Iranian people, by calling them terrorists and, this is something which is really really a source of unfortunate and sadness.
Koresh, I've got to interrupt because the music means we're out of time.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do have to sign off.
No problem.
I always want to take a moment and just remind my listeners, absolutely tune in over the weekend. And today or tomorrow, I've seen different dates listed. But basically, in this time frame, with this 24-hour period, it was when the Iran-Iraq war began. And that was Jimmy Carter's war. Jimmy Carter got Saddam to attack Iran. A million lives lost later. Well, we know what happened. Point fingers the right way. America is the villain, not Iran. Koresh, my great thanks for coming on. I look forward to doing it again.
Thank you, Steve, for this precious opportunity. Thank you and all to listeners.
Thanks.